The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
The Fold is brought to you by oMedia, making brands unmissable and public spaces better across Aotearoa. Nau mai, hoki mai ki a The Fold, e mihi nei, ko Duncan Grieve tōku wangawa. I'm here to talk about news which was sort of long forecasted, but also still has a kind of visceral power to it, which is to say that we've had confirmation that News Hub will be closing on its last bulletin. The last News Hub at 6 p.m. bulletin is scheduled to go out on Friday, July 5th, so less than 3 months away. So that's not the only job losses at Warner Brothers Discovery. About 180 of them are contained in the News Hub part of the network, but there's 120 more, so roughly 300 in whether it's commissioning, marketing, legal, integration, various other teams that go into putting out what Three is now, and really won't be able to claim to be in anything like the same way after this. When you go from 400 people to 100, there is no way to kind of pretend that you're delivering the same function for sort of society, for your advertisers, for your audiences that you were before. The sort of fine detail of it, there's not a lot. The News Hub website will go, which makes sense. While it's relatively highly trafficked now, as soon as you cut off the blood flow of news stories to it, it'll fade from usage and even search prominence very quickly. All of the non-New Zealand On Air funded shows will sort of cease once they've played through their current seasons, the likes of the Traders, Married at First Sight, New Zealand, and so on. There are proposals to, which are sort of more whispered about than kind of in black and white on the table now, that another news organisation will create a 6 p.m. news product. That's by far the most important part from a financial perspective for Three. NZME are reporting that Stuff is in the box seat. I'm sure that they're right that Stuff is making a bid. I personally think that NZME makes the most sense. It just has more live broadcast experience. But it would surprise me if one or two or even, of those organisations, plus potentially Sky, which obviously has a lot of studio and live production experience too, were to make a bid for that contract. That, has in some ways been, or some areas been portrayed as a lifeline for News Hub. I don't think they'll use the News Hub brand. I think that would be fiercely resisted and contested by the hundreds of News Hub staff who've made a very specific product, very singular product, and would not appreciate it being kind of anything else going out under that name. And it just wouldn't be News Hub. Like, let's be honest, it would be something else. That doesn't mean the thing can't have its own quality, but it just wouldn't be that. So I think it's more likely that the name just disappears and something else, maybe three News, comes in its place. That, to my mind, the cheapest, most plausible way to do that would be to hire a couple of News presenters, sort of a Mike McRoberts, sort of Samantha Hayes, and a weekend presenter, potentially a political editor. Stuff might try and make it Tova O'Brien to kind of front political news. Use your gallery journalists to provide that kind of second layer of stories and analysis, and then use your whoever's the most camera ready of your the balance of your journalist to create a news product. It wouldn't have the field stories. It wouldn't have the dynamism. You know, this just fundamentally would not be anything like as good a product as News Hub, but it would be something, and it would, you know, certainly have value to Three, value to its audiences, and do a job for, you know, a financial job for whoever picks it up if they can get the numbers right. All of which is to say, you know, there is something might come out of this. I'd be surprised if it didn't, but let's not, you know, get it twisted. Like this is an awful, awful day for journalism, particularly because it comes straight out the back of TVNZ confirming that, you know, yesterday, as I record this, that it's midday bulletin, it's late night bulletin, and fair go in all but name, a small caveat, and renews. All of those proposals have gone through. Sunday is coming later today. Doesn't feel like it's going to be any different, but obviously we'll wait and see there. But what that all kind of cumes out at is the loss of 360 jobs, including at least sort of 220 or so jobs in journalism and news production. You know, out of a when we did a survey of you know, journalistic jobs recently, you know, I think the number came out at about 1,400. So what you're looking at is, you know, somewhere well north of 10%, maybe closer to 20% of our journalistic jobs being lost. Not only that, a much bigger percentage of the television journalism jobs, you know, arguably, you know, closer to 40% of those, or we'll say 30% potentially. You know, the most viewed, most consumed news, you know, News Hub regularly gets sort of 180,000 to 220,000 viewers a night. Yeah, maybe something to replace it can keep some of those, but the number of stories, of original stories and different perspectives on existing stories, all of that stuff goes. Like it just goes, and nothing replaces it. Our plan right now as a country is nothing. We're just going to not have something where that used to be. So, you know, it's just a really strange situation. It's the fact that no one seems to be able to get their arms around it and sort of say, well, here is our plan, because the you know, this is the big shock and awe event that people were sort of waiting on and thought might precipitate a change. And that just doesn't seem to be doing that. Melissa Lees has spoken when approached on the Tiles about a cabinet paper. There's not a lot of detail around what that could be, though. I'll talk a bit later about something which does appear to be gathering at least consensus, if not momentum. I just want to take a brief aside. I started the day this morning at a breakfast organised by Chapter Zero, which is the sort of climate change focus part of the Institute of Directors, basically just a big sort of senior exec and governance meeting. There might have been 400 or so people there. It was at the Hilton downtown Auckland. And I was pretty impressed, to be honest. You know, like Dame Therese Walsh spoke at length and with humour but real passion about the scale of the climate change challenge. She's a very senior governance person and is really driving Chapter Zero, which feels like it's got a lot of energy around it. The reason I bring this up is not to brag about my morning. It's because partway through she talked about, if you want to keep up with what's going on in climate news, you should go to the Chapter Zero website and look at our news tab and read the first 10 stories, and you'll be pretty up to date with what's going on. And I'm no doubt that's true. And I've no doubt that the communications people at Chapter Zero and the IOD who put those things together are doing a great job. Equally, I'd be surprised, I'm happy to be proven wrong, but I'd be surprised if more than, say, 100 or so people a day are looking at that. And those 100 people might be really important. They might be getting very sort of specialist news. This isn't really about that. But the point is, we as a country have tremendous wealth of people who are very good at dealing with information. You know, like all kinds of scale organizations have their own communications teams, you know, which can range from a small handful of people to dozens or even, you know, north of 100. The problem is they don't have audiences. You know, in some rare exceptions, they are making stuff and then they're putting it out, whether it's press releases or internal memos or on, you know, like they call it an information waterfall. But I just think that, you know, these kind of mass communication, there's just a fundamental paradox where you have your mass communication platforms like the Herald stuff, you know, even the spin-off to a lesser extent, you have your radio, your TV news that still have mass audiences. Like, we haven't seen our audiences decline, even with Facebook turning off news. All of the markers, TV ratings are down, linear TV ratings are down, but, you know, equally there is robust growth in the sort of digital brands of you know, the likes of TVNZ and 3. But, you know, there is still a huge audience for news. And I think most of us acknowledge that even if you're hostile to some news brands, that there's one that you like to use and that it has a function in terms of an agreed set of facts being exchanged there and of having some sense of what's going on in New Zealand. So there's just this weird mismatch between there's a lot of energy being expended to create news-like or information distribution products that very few people see, and the number of people who are making news and information products under a particular set of rules that a lot of people might see is just diminishing and being squeezed really hard all the time. News Hub, you know, that's obviously the most visible part of it, but this is just going to kind of keep happening. As far as I don't see a good reason why it won't, and you know, absent something changing. And you know, I think about all these kind of well-meaning and really smart and principled people at that IOD, you know, in that room, who collectively are spending billions and billions of dollars on forward-looking stuff, and you know, who control hundreds of millions of dollars in marketing spend, and just a lot of it is going out into a sort of a soupy information kind of UGC space where it just really isn't, you know, none of this is new, but I just don't know how we are all just sitting here letting the thing cave in.
The Fold is brought to you by oMedia, making brands unmissable and public spaces better across Aotearoa, with over 4,000 out-of-home advertising sites nationwide across both street furniture and retail centres. I'm super grateful to oMedia for enabling us to make unmissable connections with Kiwis.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has the lowdown on everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. Join some of the superstars of the investment and business world as they share advice from their time in the US so you can make your mahi count in this massive market. The Investment Fix podcast, brought to you by Invest New Zealand. Tune in today.
I want to talk briefly about a couple of other things that feel sort of connected to this to me. One of which is tonight, in some kind of brutal irony, the latest in the sort of media trust survey that's run out of AUT is released, or they've got an event to kind of publicise it. The actual numbers were released on Monday, and it shows yet again cratering trust in news organisations. Now, I do not dispute that the news media is less trusted than it was a few years ago. For, you know, some of those, on some level, that's like, well, it's shrinking all the time, and yet has the same demands placed on it. So, of course, it's going to make more mistakes, and also it's going to do more sort of potentially edgy stuff for attention because it's trying to survive. But equally, I actually think the fundamental standard of our journalism, you know, in terms of the people who create it, is still very, very good for the most part. And when there are mistakes made, they're corrected very quickly, typically. So the Trusticade to me does not seem connected to the quality of the product so much as a general dissatisfaction with, you know, how news is framed or distributed. And I think a lot of that is because we have the outlet that we like, and you know, you might be a ZB listener or a News Hub viewer or a, you know, Herald subscriber or a spin-off reader, whatever your main thing is, that's the one you like. And you see some things happening on other platforms, whether it's framing, whether it's story selection, whether it's stories that you think should be covered but aren't. And that just makes you broadly grumpy about news. But that's almost not relevant if you have a news source that you do like and agree with. And that what the study doesn't do is ask, you know, do you trust, well, what's your favorite news source and do you trust that? And so partly to this is, and I've corresponded with the study's author about this, because I think it's actually at the point now where it's massively destructive to the news ecosystem in New Zealand. It allows, whether it's politicians or marketers or corporations, to say, no one trusts news media, let's just stay away from it. And all that does is make the problem worse, where if you had, you know, like a different methodology and allowed people to kind of nominate, you know, an organization that they liked, they trusted, that they felt represented by, it almost doesn't matter that there are other options there that you don't like, because as long as there's one you do and that's the one you consume, you're all good. And I thought of this when I saw a similar survey about the sort of net favorability of a bunch of politicians, right? And, you know, the bottom of the list was Chloe Swarbrick with, you know, negative 19 favorability. But Chloe Swarbrick is by any measure a really popular politician for Greens voters. She's persistently shown up ahead of her leaders when in preferred prime minister. She's really good at what she does. The fact that there's an antipathy towards her by people who will, you know, do not and will never vote for her, again, it's sort of by the by. So that's just something that grinds my gears. And I do think that AUT needs to seriously consider changing the methodology or just stopping doing the study, because I don't think it's actually contributing anything to, you know, like, this is the journalism department at AUT. Their whole thing should be, we want to make more journalists and get them jobs. Right now, that study, I think, is actively, truly decaying the environment for journalism. So it's really contra their interests. Like, who is going to go and train to be a journalist when you've got this study showing that no one trusts journalists? I don't know. It just seems crazy. So this news about News Hub, it just massively sucks. You know, the thinking about all of these, this whole lineage of people and the current generation of journalists not being on air, and the vast majority of them won't come back to sort of similar roles in terms of their prominence. You know, I hate it. It's also just not the only thing that's happening in media. And I think what I've been doing this week on the spin-off is running a series where I pose two questions to 20, it's actually going to end up being more than that, CEOs or other leaders within quite a broad definition of the media. And because the reason that I did this is because right now, you know, media always has an incentive to say that things are awesome, even if they're not, because we're trying to sell advertising or convince people to come and consume our products. But right now, no one can pretend it's awesome. So that's why I kind of, you know, went about it at this moment. And I have been really I've been really impressed with the standard of responses, the level of candor and thoughtfulness that have gone into it. And, you know, so far I have published, you know, public media and funders talking about this. Today I published production companies. And, you know, they're the people who largely make the shows the non-news shows, local shows that air on our TV networks and so on. And they're in their own world of hurt right now. Like the Hollywood strikes were one thing, the increase in interest rates are another. That's made financing for TV shows and movies harder. We've also seen New Zealand On Air asked to make cuts. We've seen the commissioning budgets of the TV networks slashed, in some cases largely eliminated, you know, Warner Brothers Discovery's case. So all of that has a huge impact on TV networks. And even shows like Short and Street are, you know, being openly talked about as potentially at risk of cancellation. And you know, this is a community that's really, really suffering at the moment as well. And I'd encourage anyone who's interested in this and enjoys the fold to have a read of this series. It is long, but it has people like, you know, Rachel Anthony made a really great point, I think, and you know, she's the CEO of Greenstone, which is a big factual production house, also do some drama. They just celebrated their 30th birthday. It was a great event. It also just doesn't look as positive for the next 30 years at all. And she pointed out that in Australia, for example, where they've long had a quota-based system for, you know, ensuring that they, you know, basically, if you want to run a free-to-air TV channel, a decent chunk of it has to be Australian. And they're starting to impose that on the likes of Netflix. So Netflix is spending $1 billion in Australia and New Zealand at the moment. And as she points out, the Australia part of that is $1 billion and the New Zealand part of it is zero. And that's kind of where we're at right now, is that Australia has done a lot in this space. It's done the sort of digital news bargaining bill. It's really aggressively moving in these spaces, you know, and people have criticized that. But at least it's something. New Zealand is just sort of sitting, watching. It's got this bill that's sort of drifting through select committee. No one really knows whether it's going to go through. And there's nothing to replace it. A lot of what production companies are saying is, why not make it a levy? And I really think that has a lot of logic to it. Because, you know, a levy you can apply to, say, any company that is selling an advertising or subscription-based product into New Zealand, which have revenues of over, say, 50 million, and you can set the levy at, you know, 2%, 5%, whatever the number you pick is, so that it captures YouTube, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Snapchat, TikTok, you know, all of the bundle of companies which are sort of sitting there and operating in these markets. And yes, there will be some kind of free market absolutists who say that, you know, you can't do that. You've just got to let these markets operate. But these aren't real markets. Like, these companies aren't employing people. They're not paying any tax. They've got a huge advantage just due to the way that they operate and where their taxes are paid and so on. And quite apart from anything else, if you just follow this thing to its logical conclusion, you don't really have a local market. You have no local content and culture, and you just become essentially like a clearinghouse for whatever shows up there. And if there's anything on there, it'll be UGC, and you just have to hope it shows up. And you won't have any idea whether it does, because your algorithm will be different from anyone else's. That's a real possibility. It's basically where we're headed, almost without, there isn't another way this plays out unless you intervene. And, you know, this idea of a levy, it feels fair in the sense that, you know, if Google, which is currently like, you know, $800 million, probably more going out each year, if it suddenly gets superseded by, you know, an AI-based search engine and its revenues halve, well, so will its exposure have. And equally, if OpenAI just finds this killer product that everyone starts using and paying for, then it costs, revenues, you know, which will naturally be derived from it being trained on a whole bunch of New Zealand content. You know, so there's a moral case there too. It can just pay more of this levy. And there's a way of distributing it, whether it's based on revenues or headcount or, you know, some other metric that can be less controversial than, for example, the Public Interest Journalism Fund, and can capture everything from screen production to journalism to whatever else it is you're trying to incentivize. So I do think that that's an idea that a lot of people seem to be kind of getting behind. It has merit. We'll see whether it can attract attention of government. But yeah, it's just, this is it's a shocking day. It's a terrible day. It is also a day that people, you know, in government, in business, elsewhere in news, need to kind of have as an inflection point and start to kind of really consider what can be collectively done to change things, because otherwise it's the first really bad day, but not the last. So, yeah, look, that's the fold for today. We'll obviously keep an eye on this. Be doing more of these, sadly, over the course of the year. But I really appreciate you listening, and thanks to oOh!media for supporting us.
That was The Fold, brought to you by our partners at oOh!media, making brands unmissable and public spaces better across Aotearoa. Huge thanks to oOh!media for sponsoring this episode of The Fold and enabling us to make unmissable connections with Kiwis.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate. The Spinoff Podcast Network.